I trust that is your prayer tonight, that the Lord would draw you close to Him, and what a blessing that was. And thank you for the special music tonight. I know it's been a blessing being in the Lord's house this evening, and I trust that we feel that way every time we come to church, that the Lord would allow us a church like this, and the blessing that we have here, and sometimes we can take that for granted, and yet we praise the Lord for the church that He's given to us. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this evening, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I mentioned last week that Pastor, some time ago, had, during one of our staff meetings, asked the staff to begin praying about preparing a series to preach, and he kind of asked us to be praying about what the Lord would have us to present. And so some time ago, I'd met with him and told him that I felt like the Lord had laid this passage on my heart, this idea of laboring together with God. And when I began to study this, those words really just jumped off the page. What an incredible thought that God gives us the opportunity to labor together with Him as Christians. And it's a great blessing, and I trust that through last week that we started this series, and then tonight we'll finish it, just a two-part series, but the idea of laboring together with God. So if you found your place in God's Word, if you'd stand with me tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we read verses 1 through 9 last week. We're going to read verses 9 through 15 this evening. The Bible says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." And so tonight we want to preach on this subject, laborers together with God. Dear Lord, we do come before you, and we are thankful for the opportunity that you've given to us to be in your house throughout the day today. We're thankful for the Lord's Day, Lord, a day that we have set aside that you have given to us to worship you. And Lord, we're thankful for each and every person that is gathered here tonight. And Lord, I know they have come expecting something from you. And I pray that you would help me tonight to preach the Word of God as you have prepared it for us, Lord, and as you have presented it to us in your Scripture. Lord, I pray that you'd help me and use me tonight. I pray for each and every person that here is here and will listen tonight. I pray that they would allow the Holy Spirit to move in their heart and that they would make personal application, Lord, tonight. And I pray that you'd help me to have a clear mind to speak the message that you've given to me. We love you and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray. Amen. And you can be seated. So last Sunday night we answered this question, why should I serve? Why should I serve? And I believe that through this passage of Scripture that we read last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the first several verses, it gives us several reasons why we should serve. And we answered that question. Obviously, we understand God has commanded that we as Christians serve Him. We understand that when we are serving together, there's unity in the church. And God desires unity amongst His people. God desires that as a congregation, we would be unified. And one of the ways we do that is by serving the Lord together and realizing we're all on the same team. So there's unity when we're serving together. And then we talked about last week that serving Him will naturally keep us humble. Because we realize if anything is going to be accomplished, it's because of Him. Because we're serving for Him. And so that's the question that we answered last week. Why should I serve? And tonight I want to look at this idea of who it is that we serve. You say, "Brother Andy, I think that's a pretty basic thought." And yet I want to remind you tonight that I believe it's important for us to realize that we are serving for Christ. We don't serve for any other reason tonight other than for Christ. That is the basis of our service. Not only are we laborers together with God, but we are serving for Him. In fact, in verse 10, Paul, I want you to go back there and look at me. Paul calls to mind the fact that it is of the grace of God that we are able to serve. He says, "According to the grace of God which is given unto me." God is so gracious to us as people to involve us in laboring for Him. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to labor for God. And so Paul calls to mind that God is gracious in allowing us to serve. And then in God's grace, God allowed Paul to be a wise master builder. Look what he says. He says, according to the grace of God, verse 10, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. He says, I have laid the foundation. Paul says, God is gracious to allow me to serve, but then he's gracious in giving me wisdom to serve him. And in God's grace, God allowed Paul to be a wise master builder. And here's what I want you to think about tonight. Listen, Paul didn't serve for the sake of man. Paul didn't serve for the sake of man. And the reason I say that, and I'll talk about this here in just a moment, but if Paul served because of somebody else or because someone asked him to serve that was not God, Paul wouldn't have served for very long. Eventually, he would have grown frustrated in the work if he was serving for some other reason. In fact, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I know this is a familiar passage of Scripture, but Paul goes through some of the things that he endured while laboring for Christ. He says in verse 23 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 5 different times, Paul was beaten 39 times for the cause of Christ. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils by mine own countrymen. In perils by the heathen. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watchings often. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often. In cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Listen, if Paul was serving for somebody else, he would have quit a long time ago. If he was serving because a department head had come to him and said, hey, would you serve in this ministry? And if he was doing it for that person, it may be 1 or 2 times he endured beatings and some of these things, but finally he'd say, listen, if I'm serving for him, it's not worth it. But Paul wasn't serving for the sake of a man. He was serving for Christ. I want you to remind you this morning or this evening, if you're serving for something other than Christ, it won't be long until someone gives you a reason not to serve. Someone offends you. Someone says a remark to you that you don't agree with, or someone gets mad at you, or you grow weary in your service. And may we realize tonight that all service is built on Christ and done for Christ. Now, I praise the Lord for those that God has called to the ministry here that come and recruit for different ministries. Listen, we have to have that around here. But you're not serving for that person that asked you to be a part of that ministry. You're serving for Christ. And that has to be the aim of all service. And so tonight I want to look at 2 thoughts from this passage, and we will be very quick tonight, but I want you to understand, first of all, that the foundation of our service is Christ. The foundation of our service is seen here back in our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go back there, if you would, with me. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says there in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he build thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The foundation of our service is Christ. Paul refers early in this passage, he says, ye are God's husbandry. We talked a little bit about that last week, the idea of cultivating a plant and watering and planting and planting the seed and watering and allowing God to give the increase. Well, he also says, ye are God's building. I think all of us are aware tonight, if there is a building, if it's going to stand for very long, it has to have a solid foundation. And I want to say tonight that in the church, Christ is the foundation for everything that we do here. For every ministry is to be built on Christ. And so we understand that the foundation of our service is Christ. And I would say this then, and Paul would tell us this, it is wise then to build on Christ. It's wise as a laborer together with God to build on that foundation of Christ. Paul, when he came to Corinth, built on Jesus Christ.
In fact, go back to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." He says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trouble. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul says, when I came to you, listen, I understand that Paul was a very educated man. Paul no doubt could stand up and be a great orator, but Paul says, I didn't bother myself with those things when I came to you. Listen, I was wisely, as by the grace of God, building a foundation of Jesus Christ. And so when Paul came to him, he didn't try to appeal to the ears and what they wanted to hear. He said, I built on Jesus Christ. I wanted him to be known amongst you. Paul was wise in doing that because if a church was to be built, it needed to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. I love the thought Paul would give us in Acts chapter 17 and verse 28 when he would say this, "For in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being." Everything that we do is through Christ. Listen, if you're living this Christian life, it's because Christ has saved you. If you're serving Christ, it's because Christ has allowed you to serve him. May we realize that it is wise to build on this foundation of Jesus Christ. In Acts in chapter 4, turn over there if you would. Acts in chapter 4, I want you to see this. Peter and John there had been arrested. And they had been asked to testify of what they were doing there in the city. And the Bible says in verse 8 of Acts chapter 4, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them as he stood before the council, he said, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if this day we be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it made known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Amen. He said, listen, Peter and John, when they stood up, they said, we are building on the foundation of Christ. It's wise to build on the foundation of Christ. Christian worker, may we realize tonight that outside of Christ, we have nothing. When I stand in front of my Sunday school class to teach, listen, I don't really have a lot to offer them in my own wisdom. But when I can take the Word of God and I can open it and I can declare Christ and I can lift up Christ, listen, that's something that people need to hear. It doesn't matter what age group that we're teaching or what age group that we're ministering to, may we realize that we always ought to strive to build on Christ. In every ministry, Christ should be magnified and Christ should be exalted. And by the way, if we'll just do that, we'll be pleasing to Christ in our service. If we'll just lift him up. And so we see the wisdom, or it's wise to build on Christ. And then I want you to understand that there's a warning here in this passage to build on Christ. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. There's a warning here to build on Christ. Verse 10. He says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation," that was wisdom to build on Christ, "and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Understand what we do here is very precious. Christ is the cornerstone of the church. He's the foundation of the church. And Paul says, listen, because that's such a precious foundation, because we're dealing with people's lives, let every man take heed how he buildeth upon that foundation that is Christ. I love this quote that I read. Someone said this by way of this verse, "We are urged to examine how we build and not what we build." We're urged to examine how we're building on this foundation rather than what we build. You see, we can build something large, but it may not be on Christ. Listen, you understand this. It sometimes seems like a church will pop up overnight and will immediately be running many, many people. And yet you might walk through the doors of that church and you might realize Christ is nowhere near this place. It's been built on some other foundation. Understand this. Listen, Satan would tempt us in any ministry that we're in to focus on something other than building on Christ and how we're building. And we may be tempted to move aside Christ to build on man's wisdom or to promote something else just to build something there. Listen, we are cautioned to take heed as to how we are building and not necessarily what we're building. Let me ask you this question then tonight. In the ministries that you labor in, are you yielded to Christ in your service to Him? Before you come on Sunday and you labor in a ministry, whether maybe your ministry meets throughout the week, tomorrow night we start Awana. Workers, are you yielded to Christ in that ministry? I mean, have you gotten on your face before God and said, God, would you please direct me and guide me in this ministry? When we do that, if we're doing that, don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Sometimes, listen, if we're not careful, we can say, well, my ministry doesn't really get a whole lot of recognition. Listen, God sees it. And if we're just building on Christ and if we're yielded to Christ, nothing else really matters other than I'm just doing what God has called me to do in this ministry. And there's a warning here that we would build on Jesus Christ. Many of you are familiar with Stephen Covey. He's a motivational speaker. He had a very interesting phrase or quote. He said this, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." I say, that's pretty profound tonight. Can I say this tonight in the church? Christ is the main thing. So let's build on that foundation and let's yield to Him as we serve Him. And so we see here in this passage the foundation of our service. But secondly, I want you to see the manifestation of our service. The manifestation of our service. Look at verse 13 back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says there, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. I would say, I want you to understand that our service will be revealed one day. Our service to God will be manifest or made known. By the way, when I think about that day, that's an exciting thought, but that's also a terrifying thought. Can I tell you, there have been some that have labored in the ministry here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church for decades, and they've just faithfully served God all along. Some that we might mention their names and you may not even know what their name is. But God has seen that service. And one of these days, the Bible says, it will be revealed. It'll be made known. That ought to be an encouraging thing for me. Listen, sometimes we are, if we're not careful, we can begin to look and say, listen, I'm just inhabiting my corner of the world over here and no one really sees what I'm doing over here. And listen, I don't know if anybody even notices and I'm just trying to serve God the best I can. And I don't know, am I really making a difference? Well, if you're serving for God, you're making a difference. And God sees that and understands that. And there's an exciting thought that one of these days that'll be made manifest. We think about that God takes note. And yet He also sees whether we are serving for Him or serving for something else, for some other reason. There's motives there. The Bible says, for the day shall declare it. What day is He referring to? I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 14, because I think Romans 14 gives us a great commentary on the passage that we're reading. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's the day that he's speaking about there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The day shall declare it. It's the judgment seat of Christ. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible says in verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. What a glorious day that will be. Listen, everybody who's ever lived this life will stand before God one of these days and will declare Him Lord. The unsaved will stand at the great white throne judgment. The Christians will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The Bible goes on to verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we'll answer how we used our lives as Christians to serve him. The opportunities that he gave to us. I mentioned last week that, listen, all of us that are saved people today, God has a church home for us. And in that church home, we're part of the body. And through the body of Christ, God gives us opportunities to serve him. We will answer to God one of these days for how we served him with the opportunities that we were given in the body of Christ. That's the judgment seat of Christ. And listen, I got to be honest with you, when I think of that day, I'm a whole lot less worried about anybody else and really concerned about myself. As I stand before God with the opportunities, listen, I find myself not looking around and saying, I wonder what they're doing for Christ. I wonder what they're doing with the opportunities they've been given. No, I have to squarely focus on myself and say, I'm going to stand before God one of these days. I'm going to answer for the opportunities that I've been given in my life. And a lot of times, listen, we might get caught up looking around at other people, what others are doing. Can I say that's not going to do you any good on that day? Some might hang the hat on the fact that, well, at least I'm doing something. This guy over here is doing nothing. Listen, can I tell you, that's really not going to really hold a lot of water when you stand before God one of these days at the judgment seat of Christ. And he said, what did you do with the opportunities that you were given? That's not a day when you're going to look around and point at other people and say, what about them? No. It's me. I've got to be focused on what I'm doing. And so we understand that our service will be revealed one day, but then also I believe our motives for serving God will be revealed on that day. Our motives for serving God. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would. There in verse 12, the Bible says, now if any man build upon this foundation, and then he gives a list of six materials. He says gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. There's obviously classifications of those materials that he's giving here. Gold and silver and precious stones, those are things that do not corrupt and will not decay. They are that which is done for Christ with an eternal mindset. But the Bible also reveals that there are some that will build upon this foundation with wood and hay and stubble. That which is corruptible. That which is temporal. Listen, our service, the Bible reveals, will be tried by fire, and only that which was done with the motivation of pleasing Christ will remain. Go to with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Keep your place back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The Bible says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. Now watch this. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. You know what that tells me tonight? That we can serve Christ with either the right motives or the wrong motives. We can serve Christ to be pleasing to Christ. We can serve for him, or sometimes we can be serve him to be seen of other people. We can serve him to get some recognition from mankind, or sometimes, as we talked about this morning, we can serve him just out of duty. There's two types of service, I believe, here on this earth. Did we help to further the cause of Christ through service to Christ? Or did we hinder the cause of Christ by either serving to be seen of men or refusing to serve at all? We're going to give an answer one of these days. The ministry that I'm laboring in, listen, am I doing it to further the cause of Christ? Is it done for Christ? Or do I have some other motivation? Am I doing it maybe to be seen of men? Or maybe I'm refusing to serve at all because it's just something that I don't want to do? We will stand before God and give an answer one of these days for that. Listen, it's not my job. It's not your job. It's not anybody else's job to judge motives of other people. Understand, there is a motivation for serving God the right way and the wrong way, but God is the one that will judge that. That's not our job. We just need to focus on what we're doing. Listen, all too often we get caught up with what other people are doing. And listen, can I be very honest? As I'm reading through this passage and I'm studying this passage this week, I'm seeing that I will give an account for me and me alone. And it kind of helps to kind of remove every other thing out of the way and realize that I will stand before God. And we just need to focus on a life of service to Him. Can I say this? When we do that, that will change our approach to service. When I realize I'm serving for Christ and Christ alone. I'm not serving for Pastor Tid. I'm not serving for Brother Andy or Brother Aaron or Brother Buddy, Brother Rusty, any of the other staff. I'm not serving for the Sunday school teacher that's in my class. I'm not serving for this person or for that person. I am serving for Christ. Listen, this will change the way we look at service. It'll change the way that we look at ministry. We're not just here to fulfill a responsibility. Listen, we're not here to do anything other than just to serve God. He is the foundation, and He is the motivation. So let's just make this practical tonight, and we'll be finished. Listen, you can build on gold and silver and precious stones in the ministries here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Let's just start with the nursery. I know that's everyone's favorite ministry, right? I know that's my wife's favorite ministry. Well, maybe that are cubbies or something like that. But very honestly, we can serve and we can build on gold and silver and precious stones in the nursery. If we'll realize, I'm not here for anybody else, but I'm here to serve Christ. Don't view it as changing a diaper. View it as I'm here serving Christ. This is the ministry that God would have me to be in right now. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to serve Christ in that ministry. You can build on gold and silver and precious stones laboring in the nursery. But you can also build on wood, hay, and stubble. If you say, I'm just here to fulfill a responsibility. Just here because somebody asked me to do it and I don't really enjoy doing this. And listen, you don't have to enjoy it to be able to serve Christ through it. As we think of that, listen, when we're singing in the choir, we can build on gold and silver and precious stones. If we say, I'm not here for Brother Buddy, I'm here for Christ. By the way, I think you'll see this and I think you'll understand this. If I'm singing in the choir to please Christ, guess what else I'm probably going to be doing? I'm probably going to be pleasing Brother Buddy in the midst of that. But that's not really the reason that I'm in the choir. I'm there to serve Christ. And so you can build on gold and silver and precious stones, but you can also build with wood, hay, and stubble if you get up there just to be seen of men, or if you grumble through choir practice because it's taking too long and I don't really particularly like the songs that we're singing right now, and this wouldn't be the way that I'd run the choir if I were in charge. You see, we can either build on gold and silver and precious stones, or we can build on wood, hay, and stubble. Think about our Sunday school classes. You can build on gold and silver and precious stones if you're there in that Sunday school class to please Christ. If while you're preparing that lesson, you're yielded to God and you're allowing God to lead you through that, and if you're thinking about, God, how should I present this to my students? But you can also build on wood, hay, and stubble. If you'll just kind of breeze through a lesson because, well, they're just kids and it doesn't really matter anyway. Think about junior church or the bus ministry or any other ministry that we have here in the church. We can build on gold and silver and precious stones. Or we can build on wood, hay, and stubble. It just depends on what our motivation for service is. Am I here to serve Christ? Am I doing this because I love Christ, or am I here to serve myself? Or am I here to serve someone else or something else? You see, every Christian has the same opportunity to build on gold and silver and precious stones. If we'll labor and serve in our ministries for Christ, God doesn't pick favorites. He gives every Christian the same opportunity. He says, you just serve for me. Build on that gold and silver and precious stones. The Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now look at verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. When we've labored for Christ, we are building on that foundation of Christ with gold and silver and precious stones. On that day of the judgment seat of Christ, God will try those things by fire. It talks about God's judgment and how God would try that. And when God puts our motives through that fire, something's going to come out the other side. It's either going to be gold and silver and precious stones, or it's going to be something that's burnt up and just ashes there. He says, listen, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Praise God for that. Praise God, we understand that we are to be laying up treasures in heaven. That's what we mean when we say that. Listen, as we're laboring here on this earth and as we're serving Christ, as we're building on this foundation of gold and silver and precious stones, listen, God will try those works, and one of these days, hopefully, we have something that will remain. And those will be the rewards that we'll have in heaven. And praise God for that. That's an exciting thing for Christians to think about. But look at verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It's important to note that this passage has nothing to do with our relationship with Christ. I'm not trying to say tonight that if you have wrong motives in service as a Christian, that you're going to lose your hope of heaven. That's not the case at all. But we will lose what God wants us to have, and that's rewards in heaven. They'll be burned up with fire. We'll be saved. Praise God for the eternal security of the believer, but praise the Lord as well that I want something to take with me to heaven. And that's all done through service to God. And so tonight, as we conclude this message or this thought, listen, we have a lot of wonderful people that serve in the ministries of Lighthouse Baptist Church. I didn't preach this message to get on to you. I preach this message with the thought that it may motivate us to serve for Christ and for Him alone. Amen. That we would finish our race here on this earth, and that as we would stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, as God would judge the motives by which we've served Him, there would be a reward that would come from that. May we as individuals dedicate our lives of service to Him, realizing that we are laborers together with God. This is why we serve, and this is who we serve. And may we live to serve Him. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed this evening. Laborers together with God. Why we serve? We serve Christ. He's called us to serve. And who we serve for Christ. He is the foundation, and He is our motivation. Dear Lord, as we come for You tonight, Lord, we understand that You're such a good God that allows us to serve with You. Lord, You have been so gracious to us. Lord, not only have You given us salvation, but You've given us the opportunity to be a laborer together with You. And Lord, I thank of the precious people of Lighthouse Baptist Church. Lord, I know our heart's desire is that we may labor for You and serve for You so that, Lord, when You judge those motives, when You try those things, Lord, that we would have something that would remain. And I pray that You might help to motivate us tonight, Lord. There may be someone that would come to the altar tonight, Lord, and they just want to rededicate their ministry to You, their life of service to You. There may be someone that come to the altar tonight, Lord, that just wants to get involved in service to You. I pray that You would work in our hearts. We love You and we thank You. In Your name I pray. Amen.